kid. Today, I'm continuing the I Love My Church series that I had started a few weeks ago. And today, we're talking about church and superheroes. So, what does church and superheroes have to do with the church itself, with the grace of the gospel? What about Christmas presents? And these are the questions that I want to answer today as we continue in this series. The implications of this answer, I think, for our church are pretty big. And they're actually bigger than I think you would imagine at the beginning. You know, when you were growing up, did you have a favorite superhero? Anybody? If you say Barney, I'm throwing you out. So. Who was yours? Wonder Woman, right? Imagine that. Would anybody have guessed that? Anybody else? Wonder Woman? How about you? You were Wonder Woman too? Okay. Anybody else? Nobody else?
Peg? I like Mighty Mouse.
Mighty Mouse? Okay.
Of course, that probably dates me, but...
Anyone else? Your dad? Okay. Yep. Roy Rogers, Dale Evans, Mickey Mouse Club. Mine was Spider-Man. That was the first one that I fell in love with. Spider-Man... was a normal guy, and he got all kinds of powers just from a spider bite. And because of that, he was able to climb up walls, jump around like a crazy person, swing from webs, and anticipate danger with his spider sense. He was the man in my book when I was a kid. You can say that all this is kid stuff, and as an adult, as I look at that and I think about the millions and millions of dollars that have been made from profits in superhero movies over the last few years, I think that folks would have to take a little more seriously our fascination with superheroes. There's something about the superhero that we are just completely fascinated with. I looked up the definition of superhero, and can you mute the pulpit mic? Push the mute button. Maybe I think that's what's causing the feedback. So. But anyway, it says a fictional hero having extraordinary or superhuman powers, an exceptionally skillful or successful person. That's what Webster says. Now, I don't really want to criticize Merriam-Webster on their ability to curate definitions. I don't know that I have the ability to say I'm better than that, but I don't think this one is correct. I don't think it's inaccurate, but I think it's incomplete. Superheroes are more than just extraordinary, superpowered, exceptionally skilled people. And because that's not even half, really, of what makes them who they are. Superheroes are superheroes because they utilize their abilities within a specific context. In other words, at a specific place, at the right time. They know where to be and how to be there and what exactly needs to be done at that moment. So who was the superhero of Metropolis? Superman. Spider-Man wasn't the superhero of Metropolis, was he? No. The superhero of Gotham was who?
Batman.
New York? Spider-Man. Right? And actually, New York has several, actually. They have more than just the one. They're spoiled. They get several. But, you know, I don't care what the superpower is. Someone else may claim to have it, whether it's flying or fighting or webbing or running or strength or anything else. But if they aren't using that power in the specific context in which they were created, it just doesn't seem to be a superhero. A dude sitting on the couch could have superpowers in their community, but not in other places. Having superpowers is one thing, but it takes action to make one a hero. One of my favorite, when I look at spiritual gifts and I think about who people are, one of my favorite authors that describes this is, a guy named Leon Bloy. And Leon says this. He says, any Christian who is not a hero is a pig. And I love that quote, and I believe that scripture affirms it. It says, if you are a follower of Jesus, you do not, that you have been given superpowers that make you have the ability to be a superhero. And I'm not saying that he's made it possible for you to become famous and have movies. Most of us will never be known that widely, but fame is not a part of what makes a superhero a superhero. Actually, they try to stay in the background, don't they? Usually they try to stay hidden. A superhero is someone who utilizes his or her abilities in a specific context to help in a specific way. In fact, I think part of loving your church is being the hero God has made you to be and not being a pig. And the hero God has made you to be has superpowers, is part of a superpower team. And that community of superpowered, enabled people is called the church. Our setting is Blanchard. So you have superpowers, and they're called spiritual gifts. And 1 Corinthians 12 starts off letting us know that Paul, the author of the letter, is going to talk about spiritual gifts. And elaborating on them, he says this in verses 4 through 7. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God, who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And the last part of it is what I want to focus in on. God works all things in all persons, means that God empowers gifts in his followers. And so I want to spend a little bit of time on that. God gives each and every one of his followers at least one, and sometimes more than one, spiritual gift. So the next one of you that comes in my office or calls me on the phone and says, I just don't have anything I can offer to Liberty Baptist Church, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says everyone has a spiritual gift. Everyone. And so, it is a spiritual superpower that God has invested in you, and it will be given to you to use in a specific context at a specific time as he sees fit to serve a specific need. And this is a list of some of the list of gifts. And gifts like exhortation, big word. Gifts like giving. Gifts like leadership. How about the gift of mercy? Have you ever been called upon to have the gift of mercy? The gift of service, the gift of teaching, the gift of administration, the gift of discernment, which I rely upon my wife an awful lot. When I am dealing with personalities and people, she can see through a lot of things that I give people the benefit of the doubt, that she just sort of says, maybe you better back away. How about the gift of faith? Have we ever had to have that? Sometimes superhuman levels of faith in order to get through something in our life. How about the gift of health, the gift of knowledge, and the gift of wisdom? There are two really important things to remember about spiritual gifts. And the first is this. God is the one that picked yours. It's not like band class. It is sort of like band class. I know when I tried out for elementary band, they had you come in and you tried out all these instruments. Of course, everybody wants to be the drummer, right? Everybody wants to play the drums. And I didn't have rhythm to save my life, so I didn't get to play the drums. So then they move you over and they have you blow into a trumpet. And I couldn't get my lips buzzing fast enough to make the trumpet go do what it needed to do. So then I had to go to a reeded instrument, right? So then they give me a clarinet, which, you know, in my big hands with a clarinet, you can imagine how that went. So I had to go to the next level up, which was the saxophone. And I love the saxophone. I still, to this day, I don't know that I guess it's like riding a bicycle. They say you don't forget it, right? But I loved playing the saxophone. But But I didn't get to pick what I was going to play in the band, is my point, okay? The band director had you come in, you tried out all these things, and then he decided where your gift was. Because if I'd have had my choice, I'd have been playing the drums. You see what I'm saying? God picks your gift. So you don't get to pick the gift that you want. You don't get to pick the gift of exhortation or the gift of discernment or the gift of administration. God picks that for you. He's the one who empowers us. Romans 12:6 actually says that we have gifts that differ according to the grace that's given to us. And so it's important to realize that you didn't apply, you didn't request, you can't campaign, you can't petition, you can't do a Kickstarter or a GoFundMe or anything else to be able to meet the gift that God is going to give you. God, in His wisdom, this is driving me crazy.
His wisdom, His love, and His care. Now you can unmute this one. And His power knows exactly what gifts you need and which gift is best suited for you. So don't waste time being jealous of somebody else's gift or thinking that they're getting all the glory or all the sunshine or all the newspaper attention or whatever, which sometimes we do, right? I do it sometimes. I sit here and compare Liberty Baptist to other churches that might be within a 3-mile radius of us. Right? That's not what God said. He said, I'm going to give you exactly what you need. You're going to serve the people that I want you to serve. You're going to have the programs that I want you to have. And everything else that you try to do is going to fall. It's going to fail. It's not going to work. God is going to tell us. He's going to bless us, and He's going to give us the specific abilities that we need to make a difference in our world and in our community. And that's what He's done for 150 years. It's a Spirit-empowered gift is the second thing you need to understand. These gifts that He gives us are not something that you and I have the strength or the courage or the understanding to be able to use by ourselves. The only way it becomes a spiritual gift is if the Spirit is involved. If the Holy Spirit. When you hear this list of possible gifts, you probably are doing a lot of scratching of your head. What is exhortation? What is discernment? What is all this? Gift of giving, gift of forgiveness. How can they be a good teacher if they don't even have the gift of teaching to start with? I don't know about you, but there are some people who couldn't talk themselves. I don't know, they just can't talk at all. But then when they get into the Sunday school room and they're teaching people how to learn about the Bible, they just have that way that it just snaps. You just understand what the Bible means because of what they tell you. They have a real life, I always describe it this way, it's sort of a real life way or a hands-on way, right, of learning. There's people that can go and be in technical education and learn how to work on cars and weld and do carpentry and all those types of things. They don't do well over here in this environment where you're learning about books and you're trying to come up with logical explanations and formulas and all that sort of stuff. That's not their thing. They just couldn't survive there. But if it's a Spirit-empowered gift, it doesn't matter which side of the room you're on, which side of education you're on, because God gives you the ability. I've had some really good teachers in my life. Some of them didn't love God. Didn't even like Him. And so the question was, how can they be a good teacher if they weren't even given the gift of teaching? And this is a great question, because if you were thinking, the thing to realize is that there are a lot of really great teachers, good teachers out there. Some amazing, incredible teachers. But there's a difference between great teaching and teaching empowered by the Spirit. One is exhibiting their natural ability, which is also God-given, I might add. And the other is exhibiting an ability that's infused by the Holy Spirit to speak in a way that surpasses the mere passing on of information, and one that teaches while being led with the Spirit. Think of it like this. When Mike Tyson, even in retirement, throws a punch, it's going to be powerful, isn't it? It's going to hurt. And even so, more so when it was thrown during his prime, That's his natural talent. But when Superman throws a punch, it's going to hurt way more than Mike Tyson's punch, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And he doesn't look anything like Mike Tyson. But it's through God's ability. His natural ability is impounded, is compounded, because the Spirit provides the power. There are many great leaders throughout history, but someone leading with the gift of leadership is exhibiting something supernatural. In other words, they're just something that no regular person could do under their own authority. And so you've been given an amazing ability to be used by God. And so that's exciting to me. As you learn that, as you know that, you're not a pig. You have the understanding that you need. And so it's confusing sometimes, and we have to say, well, what is my gift? And we want to know what that gift is. And so there are three ways you can discover your gift. First is experiment in serving. Get involved in the church somewhere. There's all kinds of ways for you to do it, right? Friday, we had a bunch of people here that were setting stuff up and running out and back and forth, the serving meals, cooking, right? We had Susan Butler's mom, Dean, who came and made the chicken and gravy, right? Is that what you, chicken and gravy in a big pot, and they served it on waffles, and I'm still not sure why they do that, but it was wonderful and delicious, and people loved it, and they sold hundreds of them. But the point is this. Experiment. Try it out. You might enjoy it. Some folks who were there on Friday had never been around the crowd of people or seen people outside of the environment of sitting in a pew on Sunday morning. Experiment. Ask other people. Ask people you spend time with, whom you trust and whom you know love you, the way that they see God using you in the church community. Some questions you could ask people. Come and ask me. Ask one of the deacons. Ask one of the Sunday school teachers. Ask one of the people that's in your community that you trust. When you hear the different spiritual gifts, which ones come to mind when you think of me? What am I doing when you see Jesus in me or coming out of me? What is it that I'm doing? And how is it that I make this community better? Those are three things. And you don't remember, these aren't to give you a big head or make you think you're more important than anyone else, but I want you to identify what it is that God has gifted. No one will know you better than the people in this church who surround you every week. And the third thing is check your energy level. And this is something that I've had to see and learn over the last several years. As you try different serving opportunities, right? Ask yourself how you're feeling. If you're tired, if you are drained, if it is something that just completely makes you dread the serving opportunity, or you're not feeling a lot of passion in it, then maybe it's not something that you're gifted in. Maybe it's not something that God truly wants you to do. A right gift, a wrong setting type of thing. If you're ready to go, looking forward to the opportunity, feeling passion, then that's more than likely something that complements your gift. Whatever they are supernaturally given to you by God, and they are something that you are empowered by the Spirit to. And the third thing is that you have a superpower team, and it's called the church. You know, the thing that I love about the movie Avengers is that it wasn't about one person. How many of you have seen the Avengers? Any of you? Hopefully a few of you have. Otherwise, this wouldn't make any sense at all. But the movie Avengers is all kinds of superheroes together. And they all band together, and they go out, and their purpose is to defeat evil. Okay, sound familiar, right? Probably about 50% of the movies out there in the world today have that theme. But it's our purpose as a church, isn't it? To go out and to show the light of Jesus to the world, to be able to conquer darkness and evil. The Avengers were a team. They were an ensemble. They were a group. And they couldn't meet the specific needs of the earth alone. They needed one another in order to have the strength and the courage, the power to be able to go out and defeat evil. And that's God's plan for me and for you as well. Let's listen to Romans 12. This is what it says in verses 3 through 8. It says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of yourself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members don't have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. And he who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now this passage that we just read complements what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is the gist of it, people. We need each other. We need each other. It's getting harder and harder for me when I go and I meet with people and they say, I don't need to come to church. I know who God is. I can be a Christian. I don't need to come and be a part of that body and center. It's getting harder and harder for me to patiently accept that response. You can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. No one can do it alone. God says we need each other. I need you because you've got a gift that if we put together with mine, we can accomplish everything that God has planned for us. So why are the 130 families of the 130 people that are part of Liberty Baptist Church, why are we all in this church instead of one up the street or up the road or in the next community? Because God wants you here. Because your gift complements someone else's. And because we all have all these gifts together, we are like the Avengers. We can go out into the world and do what it is that God wants us to do. They were given these spiritual gifts. We were given these spiritual gifts to serve other people. Romans, or 1 Corinthians 12:7 says that your gifts and my gifts were given for what? For the common good. Your gifts were given to you to help others, to serve others, to benefit others. They weren't given to you for your enjoyment or for you to be able to stockpile wealth or power or fame. Romans 12, 4 through 5 is going to even clarify that to say that we purposely and specifically by design don't all function the same way. We all don't have the same gift. Romans 12, 5 even goes so far as to say that we are members one of another. What does that mean? That means that someone has the hand, I'm the arm. Someone has the leg that carries us, that gives us the strength to stand. Someone has the power to support the body. And someone actually is the one who's out there reaching out. We all support each other. We belong to each other. Our gifts aren't ours, they're each other's. My gifts aren't mine, they're yours. Your gifts aren't yours, they're mine. I'm talking about all of you with this, not just me. And this is a lesson, I think, in both humility and in responsibility for us. Humility because the gift isn't about us. Responsibility because God knew someone else would need our help, would need to experience God working through our gifts. And so the superpower team, that's us, we're the Avengers, right? There is a community in the city in need. Do you believe that today? As you sit here in this place right now, do you believe that the city of Blanchard or the town of Blanchard and Beach Creek and Howard and Marsh Creek, how about let's just say Center County and Clinton County, do you believe that they are in need? Do you believe they're in need? Both physically, they need things, right, like food and water and other supplies, medicines, but they also need spiritual help, don't they? Amen. How many people in your community don't have a church family? How many people in your community don't even know who God is, really? They've heard about it, but they don't know who he is. They don't know what he stands for. That's what we're trying to do, folks. We have a burden to help people discover Jesus. And that's really what our church is about. Can you imagine what it would be like to go out and to serve that community if we all were serving with our full power, our full gifts, our full intention of what God had planned for us. We haven't gotten there yet. There have been glimmers, okay? I think you can look, I know I can look past the last 7 years and look and see glimmers when God has been at full power within our body and the things that we've been able to accomplish and do. And God has been glorified every single thing that we've done when we've been under that power. But we need to sustain it. We need to, you know, the Christmas presents, the idea that I brought up about the birthday party last time. Did you ever go to a birthday party that you could just tell the mom and the dad didn't really do much at all, other than maybe put out some Kool-Aid and some old stale potato chips or something like that? No, you kids, come on, let's all come and play, right? The reality is that we don't want people in our community to think that we don't care enough to even try to let them know about who God is. If they walk through those doors, if there's a visitor that comes into this place, they need to see that we're doing everything we can to make them aware of who Jesus Christ is. I think we meet that need. I think we continue to do that. But we don't want those Christmas presents, those spiritual gifts that God has given to you, not to be opened. Because that's the other image that I want you to think about. You've ever seen the Christmas tree, right? And we have all these gifts up here. How many of you would never be able to walk away and not open up all the presents under the Christmas tree? Well, God gave us all these gifts. Every single one of you has a gift. How could you choose not to open it? How could you choose not to open it? That's the question that Jesus asked in these scriptures that Paul leaves for us to read about. I love my church. I pray that you love your church. Why do you love it? What is it about it? Those are the things that you need to come to some conclusion. I've given you some ideas. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn and prepare to leave, wonder of it all. Thank you for being here today. Again, come back next week, Saturday night. Actually, Friday night. We need all the able-bodied people we can get to be here Friday night at 6 o'clock. There's several things that need set up. We need to do some final moving around and some final things that need to be done. So make sure if you can be here Friday at 6. And then, of course, Saturday night from 5 to probably 7:30, 8 o'clock, we'll be having the dinner and different things. Some history memorabilia will be out. It's just going to be a wonderful time. And then next Sunday will be our regular worship service. We'll have some proclamations, some people that will be coming to give tidings from the leadership of our association and otherwise, and just a great time of fellowship afterwards. There's going to be ice cream, okay? I think tons of ice cream, maybe not tons, but a lot of ice cream, and thinking peanut butter, somebody said, maybe some sundaes or something. So anyway, so let's sing and praise God. Wonder of it all, if you haven't accepted Christ, if you haven't followed that ABC, come forward, let's pray together.